Welcome back to me. Ha! Just kidding. But welcome back to you. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you all for hanging out with our friend Jerry Bader last week, who filled in for me, and I appreciate that very much. You know, he's someone who is definitely transitioned into a different life than what he had before, and it's interesting to see, you know, where he's been and where he's going and where he currently is, and I'm really proud of him for on so many notes, but I'm really proud to see how he has such a larger scope of vision and where he is now. So thank you, Jerry, for hanging out with us and commanding the ship. And I thought he did really, really well. If you want to listen to that episode, you sure can. It's all available online, civicmedia.us, where all of our episodes live, like this one. I was last week, we took a trip to the East Coast, New York, Boston. I'll talk about that in the last segment, and I'll give you my takeaways and all that good stuff. But first, I got another banger. I tell you what, this is just, we get home run after home run here. This guy, when I was a Brown County supervisor many, many years ago, I had the honor to really get to know this dude. And now he's here. The handcuffs and the shackles are off because he's retired now. He was a former reporter for the Green Bay Press Gazette. Everyone's favorite reporter, Doug Schneider, is here with us. What's up, buddy?
No pressure there, Mark Becker.
No pressure. No. And, you know, it's what I wanted to do is not talk a ton, because I this is going to be interesting. You know, just open it up, see where it goes. I haven't seen you guys. Was it years? It's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a couple years since I've been in Green Bay. Moved out a couple years ago, and the rest is history.
The rest is history. So what did you do when you left Green Bay?
Well, I went to upstate New York.
You're from there, right?
No, I'm not. I'm from someplace with a team that Packers fans dislike.
Oh.
That I also dislike as
well. Chicago, okay.
Yep. The nameless face of Chicago suburbs. And so I went back to upstate New York, married my longtime girlfriend, and bought a house, and was not planning to continue working in media, but I got a call from a friend of mine saying, hey, can you help out? And so I worked at his small paper in the middle of nowhere for 15 months and was just about getting sick of driving 45 minutes one way a day. Yeah, it was not a heck of a lot
That's
of fun,
tough.
Especially when it was snowing like crazy. One of the things I was promised and I was foolish enough to say.
Well, at least it doesn't snow too much in upstate New York, right?
Yeah, one of the selling points was we didn't get a lot of snow last winter.
Okay.
But it was not true for the winter of 24-25.
Yeah, one term we don't have here is bomb cyclone, I don't think. He shuts his eyes.
This is the sound of me rolling my eyes.
Yes. Oh my goodness. So for the listeners here, I want to talk about your career a little bit. What got you started in media and in writing and being an award-winning investigative journalist? Because you are.
How long you got?
We got an hour.
I went to the Newhouse School at Syracuse University with plans to go into this business.
So it was a goal to get into.
Was convinced fairly quickly that I did not want to be a line in the credits for a long time. So fell in love, took a job in scenic Carbondale, Pennsylvania, coal country.
Yeah.
And started from there. And after a couple of years, moved up into dailies and eventually really got the bug in terms of doing hard-hitting journalism and covered some interesting stories, dead giraffes and things like that.
Uh-huh. That's like, it was Carbondale. That's Pioneer City, right?
It is.
There you go. See? I know they kind of like started the Industrial Revolution or one of the, right?
It was big in coal country. It was a significant railroad town for a while, as much as Pennsylvania is. You know, got used to dealing with the public there. Did not learn a lot about journalism.
Oh, okay.
And moved to Western New York and Batavia, which was also pretty challenging.
Yeah.
But it was well placed in terms of getting to baseball games and things like that. Because you had Buffalo and Rochester both had significant minor league teams.
Buffalo Stadium's cool. We went there on our honeymoon to Buffalo. It's because I love wings. No, it's because
gonna say you have an interesting life, Mark.
I do. No, because we wanted to see Niagara Falls, and it turns out you need a passport to really see them well. And my wife didn't have. She didn't have a passport, and so we couldn't.
Why didn't you not ask me beforehand? I would have told you the Canadian side is better.
Why? I know. Why didn't I? Didn't think of that. But the Anchor Bar was cool. Wings were really good, you know, done the right way. Except I did, it looked like I had a third eye when I asked him for ranch.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I was going to say you could be a Charlie Barron sketch.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, apparently you can't do that in Buffalo. It's blue cheese.
Indeed it is.
When we were in New York, I did that again, and I asked for ranch, and they brought me blue cheese. It was not very, wasn't very good, gotta be honest. And you know, I don't know, but
there's a lot of good Italian food in Buffalo too. If you ever get back there.
Oh, really?
Yep.
I liked Buffalo. Buffalo was a really cool town.
Good working class town, a lot of character. Avoid it like crazy in the winter.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, you know, you see some of the stuff that that happens over there. We follow a guy that does a lot of storm chasing, and, you know, they got to do something in the wintertime, and so he, like, chases these massive snowstorms, and you see the stuff that happens in Buffalo, and it's like, oh, my God. What they get is just gnarly.
Yeah, a lot of people in my new life say, you know, well, isn't Green Bay as snowy as Syracuse was? And it's nowhere close.
Nowhere close.
Yep.
Wow. So I want to talk about a couple of different things, and I think you have such a unique perspective of kind of the state of play in media. You know, where people's trust lies and why. And you know, I do want to get into that and all that. I don't think I've ever asked you what was the trigger thing for you? It was like, I want to do that. I want to be a reporter. I know you said you didn't want to be on the credits. You wanted the byline, which I totally, that's, yeah. What got you into reporting?
I don't know. I think it was a bunch of teachers in my teenage years telling me, you really should write for a living.
Yeah.
And eventually I worked with some outstanding young journalists. I was the old guy at 28 in Glens Falls, New York, which is a really scary thought.
Yeah.
But there were some people who were tackling big projects. And, you know, we had a crazy in a good way editor who would, you know, send people to the political conventions and stuff.
Oh, cool.
And so people were breaking some significant stories, and I eventually realized, hey, I want to do this, and I have the chops to do it. And but for a while it was, you know, significant crime and public safety issues. So
in Buffalo?
No.
It's
like an hour north of Albany.
Okay.
In a town that four newspapers covered.
Wow.
So it was competitive as heck. It was the gateway to Lake George. It was, you know, a couple hours from Montreal, several hours from Boston. So it was a really cool place to be.
I mean, that the newspaper industry is, I mean, think of it when you started to where it is now. I mean, I remember my growing up, my dad would get, because the Press Gazette had like a morning paper and an afternoon paper.
Yes, the good old days.
Yeah. And so it was a huge, it was like a seismic shift in our family when we went from the morning paper to the afternoon paper.
Why didn't you change?
My dad worked, he was a mailman. And so he wanted to get the news when he was home and relaxing and his feet up and all of that stuff. And so the 4 o'clock paper was great because it was up to date. It was the stuff that happened. But then it also was the latest breaking stuff that it worked out really well. We loved the Press Gazette. I mean, it was an amazing paper. I'm sure it still is. But there was nothing quite like, you know, the sound of the paper. You open it up and read. It was, and that's almost non-existent now.
It is existent, but it, when is news old in your mind?
30 seconds after it's printed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
A couple seconds after you read it.
Right. Well, and especially, not to make everything about the orange dude, but the news cycle, and I think it's by design, the news cycle under him now, and like it was 4 years ago, it's fluid. It doesn't stop. It's just, and I have my opinions on why, and we'll pick it up after the break here. We're talking with Doug Schneider, retired investigative journalist for the Green Bay Press Gazette. We're going to talk about, distrust in the media. We're going to hear some sweet stories of your time in the trenches, and looking forward to that. So we'll see you back here after the break on the Civic Media Network. You're listening to Rational Revolution.